Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Successful Woman Radio Show. This is your host and success coach, Trina Newby, broadcasting to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. As always, we want to bless the life of one person this morning or this afternoon, wherever you are, by flashing over and dialing a person's number who you'd like to gift and let them know about the Successful Woman Radio Show. Just have them to dial in to 347-637-2589. Again, have them dial in to 347-637-2589. And, of course, if you're at your computer online, go to your Facebook page and invite your friends to the show. Today, our discussion is all about women making it happen, and I am just so happy that we are talking about that. And as a matter of fact, this is our theme for the entire month, women making it happen. And, of course, what we want to do on Successful Woman Radio is bring to you this month successful businesswomen who are out there making it happen for themselves, and I'm excited about that. We also have some announcements for you today. We have a special teleclass coming up on Saturday, and, of course, we've got two special featured guests who will be discussing along with me about women making it happen, Pam Perry and Amy Jo Gardner, and you'll learn a little bit more about them in just a moment. But for right now, I want to go ahead again and welcome all of those people who are either tuning in via Blog Talk Radio or who are dialing in on their telephone. Again, you have tuned in to the Successful Woman Radio Show, and this is your host and success coach, Trina Newby. And thank you so much for being a part of our show today. We've got a great teleclass, special teleclass, as a matter of fact, coming up on this Saturday, November 6th, from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m., and it is called Making Money with Your Website. As many of you may know, it doesn't do us any good to have a website if we do not know the right way to present the website so that individuals will be able to easily purchase or take some action that is going to lead to a sale on our website. And so this teleclass is for you if you are still trying to make your website appealable to your target audience, your target customer, if you want to have more tips and resources and ideas for making your website, as we call it, pop, so that individuals will take action right away. So if you thought about creating products to sell on your company website, or if you're seeking ways to bring in additional income with website, then this is definitely a teleclass for you. This teleclass, you'll learn how to choose products to sell or how to cross-promote products that you already have, affiliate programs, planning your website strategy, making sure that you build your list, which is so very, very important. Finding content for your site, promoting your product, article marketing, and so much more. So, again, this special teleclass will be held on Saturday, November 6th from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Just an hour and a half can change your whole life and bring more income for you by taking this teleclass. For more information, please go to womenaboutbiz.com. Again, that's womenaboutbiz, B-I-Z as in zebra. Click on the events text link up in the top red menu bar, and you can either register or learn more about this valuable teleclass brought to you by Women About Biz. Well, we've got a great show theme all this month, and it is Business Women Making It Happen. As we begin to come to a close for this year, we only have a couple of months left. This is November 1st. You know that I've been talking about on the show for a while now about the importance of having your vision, the importance of creating your dreams and goals and taking them to action and making things happen for yourself. And so this month, what better thing than to talk about making it happen? So we are going to talk about the fact that women are starting businesses at a 3-to-1 rate of men. Women seem to be just really picking up the beat and taking charge, and regardless of the economy, women are accomplishing their dreams and goals, and so that is something to be commended for. That is something that we need to be proud of ourselves for, of making things happen, and that's a wonderful thing. Our guest today are going to be two businesswomen who know what it means to make it happen for themselves. And, of course, that's Pam Perry, who's a PR and marketing expert, and Amy Jo Gardner, who's a writer. She's an editor, and she is also the founder of Christian Women United in Business. So I'm excited to have these women on the show today. Right now, we're also going to talk a little bit about our featured book club book, which is coming up very, very soon. You'll be hearing more information about that. But we are going to be featuring The Power of Focus for Women, What Successful Women Know About the Secret to Conquering Challenges and Creating Change. This is a really good book. I've read it twice, and it is by Fran Hewitt and Les Hewitt, and they are very good writers when it comes to really putting words to paper and making it applicable, making it simple enough so that we can easily follow what they are saying. And I really appreciate that in writers. And this particular book is literally talking about how women can get better focus, get better balance, and gain more control over their time and what they are doing. If you've been looking for a way to have clarity, to have pinpoint focus, to better balance your business, yourself, and your family, then this is a great book to have. Now, of course, it's a spin-off book from the main book, The Power of Focus, by Les Hewitt and Jack Canfield. And, of course, Fran, who is Les's wife, also participated in that particular first edition of the book, and then she created The Power of Focus for Women. And I want to tell you again, it is an easy read. It's a really, really good book, and we are going to be featuring that in the book club soon, coming up soon. I think we're going to start the book club the second week, the second Thursday of November. So stay tuned to womenaboutbiz.com for that. A couple of things, however, that I want to share with you from the book that I really like, and that is women sometimes need things broken down for them. And so Fran has put in the book action steps, things that we can do to help us in changing a belief system that's not working for us, and also learning how to put yourself first, which is something that we at Successful Woman Radio talk about all the time, the importance of putting yourself first. She also talks about roles and labels that are placed on women and how that can cause us to be very, very stressed. You know, many of you who are listening to the show, some have not started their businesses yet and are wanting to get started. And so, of course, not allowing others to place roles or labels on you, but really getting out there and making things happen for yourself is very, very important. You know, we talk about and use the example of the airplane and how literally you are supposed to put on the air mask first so that you can help everybody else. Sometimes as women, we get a little confused in that, and we have a tendency to want to put the air mask on everybody else except ourselves. And what we end up doing is smothering and not being able to bring our goals and our dreams to the surface. And so I want us all to remember the importance of placing ourselves in priority, which is very, very important. I want to read to you an excerpt that I think is very, very special from The Power of Focus for Women. Fran says, there are many ways we can get inspired. We can get inspired by watching others. Sometimes we can get inspired by the person least likely that we least likely expect. And she also says, however, it's just so important to look for other ways to become inspired. It could be a great book, an epic movie, beautiful art, music that moves you to tears, or a dramatic production that has you on your feet cheering at the end. Looking up to someone, such as a mentor who you respect and admire, can inspire you to be successful too. One of the best motivators is to make a list of compelling goals, paint a vivid picture of what you want, and visualize what it will feel like when it becomes a reality. Inspiration will ignite your creativity and passion. Just thinking about the possibilities can make it difficult to sleep at night. You're going to be extremely excited. So she's talking about the joy of inspiration and how it's important for us as women to become inspired and to look up to others, to find mentors, to find people to be inspired by, and that's so very, very important. Another thing that she talks about, and that is literally learning about the five barriers. And I would have to say I agree wholeheartedly with her. I'm going to give you these five barriers, and again, I'm hoping that many of you out there who are listening will definitely go pick up your copy of The Power of Focus for Women. You can also go to the womenaboutbiz.com website, click on bookstore, and that book is featured as well for your purchase from Amazon.com. The five barriers she talks about is, number one, coasting in your comfort zone. She says we all love our comfort, but unfortunately it's one of the culprits that keeps us stuck. Number two, be aware of apathy and indifference, realizing your life is on hold because you are stuck in the comfort zone trap is quite different from another obstacle to change. And she talks about apathy, indifference, and lack of passion rob many women from taking calculated risks that will improve their circumstances. So number two is apathy. Three, fear. She says fear usually appears when you are about to take a risk. The level of fear is proportional to the size of the risk. If you are making small changes, you may not feel too fearful. However, if you are planning major life changes, your fear is likely to get much greater. And, of course, many of us are familiar with that. If we've got huge dreams and goals, of course, we know that old fear will creep around and bother us, but we must not let it. And number four, she says, justifying your actions. These are some barriers. Sometimes we don't want to open our eyes to reality because the truth is too painful. You know, it's easier to justify and rationalize being stuck instead of making some changes. Have you ever known someone who could not manage her money? Her bills were never paid on time, plus the credit cards were overused and abused, yet she can justify spending the money she doesn't have because she's addicted to shopping, okay? And she goes on, and she talks about some of the things that we have to stop justifying, a lot of actions. And then, of course, number five, putting things off. If you hadn't already noticed, procrastination is another major roadblock to change. Do you ever put things off? Just about everybody does to some degree or another. Here's the crash course of discovering why we play this stressful game. And she gives us a checklist. Some of the things she mentions are we're bored, we're overwhelmed with work, our confidence has slipped, many of us have low self-esteem, we're doing work that we really don't enjoy, we're easily distracted, and sometimes we can get just downright lazy. So as you can see in this book, The Power of Focus for Women, you know, Fran Hewitt really gets down to the nitty-gritty in talking about the five barriers, okay, things that can really hold us back from achieving success. And again, they are coasting in our comfort zone, beware of apathy and indifference, fear, okay, and she also talks about justifying our actions. We have a tendency to do that. And putting things off. We definitely have a tendency to put things off. And, of course, this is what we'll be discussing in our book club. As you know, we always have tele-discussions on our book club and break things down a little bit more. And, again, as I said before, this book, The Power of Focus for Women by Fran Annette Hewitt, is an excellent book to be having for the end of the year as we begin to develop our business strategy so that we can make things happen for the new year. Well, it is approximately 15 past the hour, and for those of you that have tuned in, I'd like to welcome you to the Successful Woman Radio Show. We are broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia, as we do every single Monday, regardless of whether it's a holiday, a rainy day, a sunny day, or a shiny day. You can come to Successful Woman Radio Show every Monday at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time and know that you are going to be inspired, uplifted, and motivated. And so we thank you for tuning in to the show today. Well, without further ado, we're going to go ahead and move into our main show theme. And again, as I mentioned earlier, our show theme today and for this month is Business Women Making It Happen. Of course, regardless of the economy, women are taking charge of their lives and their future and accomplishing their dreams and their goals. From the corporate world to the stay-at-home mom, women are going after what they want. We have two guests on the show today who are business women, and they know what it means to make it happen for themselves. I've seen both of them on Facebook. Individuals have sent links to me on their websites, and I'm honored to have them on the show. And we're talking about Pam Perry and Amy Jo Gardner. I'm going to go ahead and read you some information about our two lovely guests, and then we'll welcome them to the show. Starting with Pam Perry. Pam Perry is a public relations and marketing expert. Detroit Free Press recently called her a marketing whiz on an almost immortal mission. Known as the connector and PR coach, Pam Perry knows how to pull the right people together for the right project at the right time and garner the right publicity. Her public relations and advertising career spans over two decades. Mastering print, radio, and television, Perry has been employed at the Detroit Free Press. She's also been with the Christian Television Network and has published a 40,000 circulation magazine, SoSource. She's also provided PR accounts with clients like McDonald's while at Hermanoff and Associates Agency and provided fund development and public relations for Joy of Jesus and the Salvation Army. Pam is the founder of BART, Blacks in Advertising, Radio, and Television, a nonprofit networking organization for African Americans in the media. Over a 10-year period, the organization has hosted career conferences, award programs, honoring African American heroes in the industry, and organized professional development meetings. She is also a past winner of the One to Watch Award from the American Women in Radio and TV. A consummate communicator, Pam has taught journalism and penned columns for the Michigan Chronicle and the Michigan Front Page and is currently a columnist for Keeping Family First Online magazine, and she's on the board of Inspired Living magazine. And so Pam has just been all over America doing wonderful things in public relations and marketing. And at this time, I want to welcome Pam Perry. Pam, are you there?
Thank you so much, Trina, for having me on.
It's so wonderful. I'm so glad that you are here. And I have just been seeing you all over the Internet, on Facebook, and various places. Individuals have been sending me links to your website. So I'm very excited about you being on the show today.
Thank you. This is what they call real-time PR.
Wonderful, wonderful. And also on our show today, we have Amy Jo Gardner. Amy Jo runs Amy Jo Gardner Ministries and AJG Consulting, working as a freelance writer, web designer, and instructor. In addition, she serves as CEO and technical director of Christian Women United in Business. Other experience includes banking and aerospace industries, nonprofit, as well as career counseling at a small college. Amy Jo is a graduate of Northwest Nazarene University with a Master of Arts degree in religion and a concentration in pastoral ministry. She is also a graduate of the University of South Carolina with a BA in English and a Master's in Journalism. Amy Jo, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you so
wonderful,
much.
Wonderful. Oh, wonderful. Well, ladies, thank you again for being on the show today.
Thank you.
And of course, we are all this month talking about women making it happen because, as you know, we've been hearing so much about the economy and how it's impacting people. Several women who were on the corporate workplace have received pink slips, and many of them had no choice but to go ahead and pave their goals and their dreams of starting their own business. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. Mike, I want to start with the first question to either one of you. Are you noticing that women more than ever are refusing to let the economy be an excuse? Are you noticing, are you talking with more women who are making it happen?
Well, this is Pam. Women making it happen. I find that a lot of women now are really in transition and reinventing themselves. I have a good friend right now, Karen Taylor Bass, who is used to be the publicist for Jill Scott. She kind of like was the one that really started her who is Jill Scott campaign, and, you know, Jill mm-hmm. Scott went on to do all of that. And she really became a new mommy at age, I think it was 40 or so. And she really then at that point decided to reinvent her PR career into using a lot of internet and social media and that sort of thing. And so I find that a lot of people are leveraging things like what you're doing, Trina, in terms of blog talk, in terms of coaching, in terms of digital product delivery. People who are really non-techie people, I guess you would say. They weren't growing up with the computers in the 90s and putting them back and forth together, but they are have these skills that they want to translate to the market. And so what I'm finding is a lot of people are looking at their hard skills that they have, their core skills that they have, and using them in new ways. And that's what I'm finding a lot of really right now. The coaching field is just taking off. Information product delivery has taken off. Social media manager, those jobs have taken off. Virtual assistants, those jobs have taken off. Mm-hmm. So people are familiar with trends. The people that are successful in one industry know that they have to translate them into new areas where there is a new demand for it. The same skills, but used a different way. And that's what I'm finding. I don't know about our other guests, if Amy, if you found the same thing.
Amy, yeah, what about you? Are you finding that?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that, you know, especially for a woman who has had that experience of being laid off herself, or perhaps a spouse laid off, that even mm-hmm. though you have that initial fear and disappointment, that they're not letting the economy be an excuse. They're actually using it as a motivator to go and do something else with the skills that they have, or picking up even a new skill. But they are taking advantage of the new technologies that are out there, because, you know, there's still a lot of money changing hands in the economy, you know, so they are just looking for ways and are motivated to find ways to get in on that economy that is still out there.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Now, Amy Jo, do you feel that entrepreneurship is a natural fit for women? Do you think this is why so many women are now really moving towards a final decision of entrepreneurship?
You know, I think so. I think for many women, I mean, I know myself included, that we are used to having to do a lot of things at once, and mm-hmm. we are very motivated to take care of those close to us and to take care of ourselves. And so, you know, whether you decide to start a small, you know, a consignment shop in your city, or you decide to do something online, I do think women naturally gravitate to some sort of effort, some business that's going to support them and make sure that they can take care of the people they need to take care of. And plus, I think, you know, women have a desire to be helpful. I know you were talking about before that sometimes that gets in our way, that we want to help others and we let ourselves get drained. Mm-hmm. But that desire to be helpful works right in with being an entrepreneur, because you're not going to be successful in business unless you are helping other people. And so I think that works well together.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you said something very true, that we definitely must be willing to help other people. We have to learn to create win-win situations. Pam, what about you? Do you feel entrepreneurship is a natural fit?
Yeah, I think a lot of women are, more like white brain, and so they can multitask a lot of different things. Entrepreneurship is just something that they're going to be good at, because entrepreneur, especially just starting out, they have to do everything. They've got to do mm-hmm. their main core, their business. They've got to do the marketing. They've got to be the customer service. They've got to be invoicing. They've got to be accounting. They have mm-hmm. to be the speaker. So it is very a natural fit for them, because women are tend to be really good at multitasking, or very right brain in terms of really being creative and coming up with new solutions of solving problems. So, yeah, I think it is a natural fit, but more so that women do want to really help and serve and nurture. That's just an innate quality that women have as females and wanting to nurture. So a lot of times they are really offering service. And so even if they aren't offering service, I have a friend that has an engineering company, and she's one of the few women engineering companies and that sort of thing. But one of the things that makes her successful is that her team has been with her from day one. She's been in business now over 20 years, and they just love her. They love the team. She's really excellent in terms of human resources and bringing in other engineers. And so in that point, you know that when women are in business, one of the main things that for anybody in business is that employee problems, keeping employees. And for women, it tends to be a easier thing to do that because she has a family, she knows how to treat people, and really she can make people feel warm and fuzzy when they need to feel warm and fuzzy and really want it on the job. And so they stay with her for a long time. There's no in-house fighting and that sort of thing.
And that's wonderful. And I have read in several magazine articles that companies are now hiring more female CEOs because of the nurturing side that they tend to have. Tell me, Pam, because you mentioned a big word, multitask, okay? And I know that women, we have a tendency to get ourselves in trouble with this multitasking as well, but how do you handle all of the
things? It sounds like someone's multitasking with the dog in the background.
how do you handle multitasking, Pam? I mean, because it really is. I have many of my clients are always saying that they have so much to do, and they can't seem to stay focused on certain things. And by the time Friday gets here, it's difficult to know whether you've accomplished anything or not. You have so many things on your to-do list. So give us a few tips there.
One of the main things, you do it in priorities. So, Amy,
yes.
Jo, you would know this. So we have things that are a priority that we have to do in our life. And so, you know you want to exercise. You know you want to eat better. You know you have to read these particular materials. You know you have to take care of your family, this and that. So, you put all these things, the things that you have to do, and you put it in priority. And then what I do is I say, okay, well, how can I combine some of these things? So say, for instance, it is maybe exercising and eating right and reading materials or whatever. So maybe on particular days early in the morning, when you can find time, 6 in the morning, you ask your family. I have a teenager, say, okay, we're all going to go work out together. Okay. And so I'll take a file that I need to read. I have this little file to read, and I'll take it and I'll go and I'll read it on the treadmill. All right, so my husband, my daughter, and myself, we're all together, we're working out, and I'm reading my things that I need to read that I've collected from my email and that sort of thing, because I don't read all my emails as soon as I get it. I put it in the file, and I say, to read later. And to read later, it goes with me everywhere. So if I have wait time, I pull out that file to read later. And that's just one of the things. It's multitasking. My husband doesn't have that kind of feeling. I mean, he has things he has to read. He's going to take it when he has to read. He'll take time to read, and he'll sit down. If he's waiting to get his oil change, I said, I'm reading, and he's just sitting there looking at the television in the waiting room. I'm thinking, like, why don't you have something to read? And so that's just one simple thing. But even like right now, I'm on Twitter and Facebook, and I just kind of tweeted out at this point in time, that I'm on the show and for people to call in if they want to talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's simple to do. I think it's not something that everybody can do. My husband doesn't really fit well in doing that. He has to focus on one task at a time, but I'm used to doing that. That's just something I think can be learned. Whether it's more effective or not, it just depends. If it's working for you, you do it. And so for me, it is something that, most people say you never go anywhere without anything to read. No, because I'm in the information business. So I'm always going to have something with me that I'm going to read. Now, when I'm writing, that's a whole other thing. I do have to shut it down, and I'm not going to multitask because obviously that takes concentrated energy to put something creative on the page. Everything else really can be multitask. Even when I'm cooking, obviously, if I'm cooking, I'm doing other things. I could be talking on the phone, whatever that is. Other than writing, I think that you can really multitask. Now, some people do write. Journalists, obviously, they write and multitask, and maybe they're doing other things as well because that's learned, too, as well, that they can do other things while they are writing.
It's really dependent upon your personality. Now, Amy Jo, what about you? Well, how do you multitask?
Well, you know, I think we all have to multitask, but I always say that I single task one right after the other. I dedicate bits of time one right after the other. But you know, you can't just say I'm only going to do this at this time, because life doesn't work that way. I'm with Pam. When I'm actually writing, I try to set aside time just to write. But at the same time, I mean, what are the odds that I also have a load of laundry going? Well, it's pretty good. So, so I mean, there's that always going on. I think one thing that women, though, when they're trying to multitask, is they're actually trying to multitask things that they should just drop off their to-do list, or that they should delegate to someone else, because you don't have to do everything. And I think that's one thing women struggle with, is trying to get everything done themselves. Mm-hmm. When, you know, you have to reach a point where you think, you know what, that particular activity is just not important to me, it's not contributing, and it just needs to go away. Mm-hmm. So that, to me, it's like a balance. You've got to get all these things done, but at the same time, you have to know which items are actually important, which are going to move your business forward, move your life forward, and which items are just kind of like hanging out. They're just, you know, you just don't need to be doing them, and then you just forget about that stuff. Take it off your list. So that's important, and that's different for each person, you know. But instead of having all of that, just decide what's really important.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you said something that was very important, which is sometimes instead of trying to multitask particular to-do items, those things really do need to be delegated to other people so that we can do what we do best, and that's very, very true. I know that both of you support women in their businesses. I've, you know, gone on your sites and seen various workshops and different things that you're doing, and Pam, what do you do to support women? I know you hold a lot of teleclasses and different things. Talk to me about some of the things that you do.
Well, it's the business itself is really, I guess, because I am a woman, and I tend to have a lot of women clients, but it's not really women or men per se. You know, really the whole thing, I support authors. Obviously, there's a lot of women authors and a lot of nonfiction authors. They say women tend to read more than men, so I tend to have a lot of women authors as well, and then nonprofits as well, you know, ministries and that sort of thing, and then entrepreneurs. And so a lot of women will feel more comfortable maybe coming to me to help them with PR marketing, because they're a woman, I'm a woman, they figure they understand me, they get me. A lot of the things that I do is just I really more or less like just tell women the same thing that Amy Jo says, that, you know, some things you just can't do yourself. You've got to delegate. And I think a lot of women, especially new to business, they think they have to do everything. And I said, you need to take the S off your chest. You're not Superwoman. And really just allow other people to do that for you. And they said, well, you don't do that yourself. I said, no, I don't try to do everything myself. If I did, I would just really go nuts. And so I think it frees them to understand, to have someone tell them from a standpoint of a coach that, you know, you don't have to do everything, that here's a different way to do it, that, you know, you don't feel guilty about it either. That's the other thing, you know. So I kind of tell women that too, you know, okay, you can't do everything, then delegate it out, and then don't feel guilty about it once you do, because it just doesn't make sense if you delegate it out and then you worry and fret about it or you feel bad about it after you've delegated it. So I tell a lot of women, you know, if you're not real comfortable in doing this or that, then hire a virtual assistant. If you're not real comfortable about that, maybe hire a teenager. Maybe they can watch your children, or maybe you can have, you know, whatever it is, whatever your team is that you need in order to make your life work, you need to assemble that team. And, you know, the children thing, because a lot of women are the main caretakers for their children, is really where I tell a lot of people, they said, well, I said, the children are your main priority, but also know that you can just, you know, just in terms of what you have to do, you have to go to an event or that, you know, or you have to speak. So maybe once a week you will watch a child for another entrepreneur, and then they watch your child for you, so that you can at least have that networking time to go out. And a lot of women, because they are new to business, they don't know how to juggle that. It's like, well, you know, I don't really want to, you know. It's like, well, you know, you take, watching one child is almost as easy as watching two or three. So if you have to go somewhere, then you watch someone else's children for one day, and then they watch yours for another. And my daughter's a teenager now, but we did that all the time growing up. I call it like, you know, you have a second string. You have someone that, because you don't always want to rely on family, grandparents especially.
Yes, absolutely.
Because that's just, you know, they don't have the energy for one. And they would rather, the children would rather play with other children. So doing that whole thing of switching off, okay, you have Fridays, I have Tuesdays. You know, we'll watch your kids and that sort of thing. Even for date nights, you know, parents will just say, well, I never go out because we don't have anyone to watch the kids. It's like, that's not healthy for your marriage. You've got to do that. And so a lot of times it's just really trying to help women understand that they can do everything that they want to do, having mentors, having role models, and getting rid of guilt. Guilt about
absolutely
not being able to do everything.
Absolutely. And that's an excellent idea, especially for a businesswoman who is on a set budget and is just not there to put the child in daycare. Actually working with other businesswomen who have small children as well and basically swapping out work days and helping one another is a wonderful way to support each other.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know, Amy Jo, for you, you founded the Christian Women United in Business, and I really I've been to your site and your fan page and like what you're doing. Tell us a little bit about that and how you're supporting women in their businesses.
Well, first, I can't take credit for founding it. Stacey Virgo, it was her idea, and she got it going. I serve day-to-day operations now, keeping everything running smoothly. But basically, Christian Women United in Business, the idea is that we wanted a place where women could come together, they can network with each other, and there's a lot of networking opportunities out there. But what we know is that sometimes when you're networking with women and they're not Christians, that, you know, speaking about God and your business and, you know, prayer and how that impacts your business is not very well received. So we kind of wanted an environment where women would feel comfortable expressing that part of their lives without, you know, any rolling eyes or snide comments. That was important to us. But our main thing is we really just want to provide an opportunity for women to network with each other. When you need somebody to delegate, if you're looking for a virtual assistant or somebody to do a website, that you can make those connections. And we also want to give them an opportunity. You know, every month we do a teleconference, and we want to give people an opportunity to see what other women are doing in their businesses, what other opportunities are out there. And we really just want women to know that they have an entire group of women that they can come to for support, that they don't have to do it alone. Because I know women very often think that they're in it alone, you know, and they don't want to go and ask for help, or they feel guilty if they have to ask for help. And, you know, that's not something we want to do. And, you know, we're there just for simple things like, you know, like how much should I charge for this? Or I'm having this trouble with a client. You know, I don't know how to handle it. What should I do? And so kind of giving women a place where they can, you know, safely and comfortably network with each other and support each other. That's our main thing that we want to do. So that's our goal.
Wonderful, wonderful. And, of course, I learned about you through Facebook. And if you could go ahead and give the fan page for Christian Business Women United in Business.
It's facebook.com/CWUIB.
Okay, CWUIB.
CWUIB.
Okay, I will make sure that we put that up on the Women About Biz site as well. And Pam, you know, one of the things that I know that many women have asked questions before on Successful Woman Radio is about public relations and marketing. And, you know, I have a tendency to hear a lot of women who are either new to business or women who consider themselves running a micro business feeling that they should not necessarily budget for public relations or marketing, or many don't understand what PR is. But could you talk a little bit about really as women that we can't do without that?
Yeah, and really it has changed a lot over the years. People really do have to be their own brand now. People do have to be their own marketer. They have to have a marketing mindset. And there's so many things now with having access via social media where you can get directly to reporters now via Facebook, Twitter. You can see what they're tweeting about. You can go on their blogs. You can engage them. And so I tell a lot of people that, yes, this is a relatively new field, this whole social media marketing, which is really what I really want people to understand. I mean, whether you're a lawyer, whether you're an author, whether you're a minister, you do have an audience. And so whenever you are doing something in social media, you are really promoting your brand. I mean, you're engaging, but then every virtual step that you make, people are looking at that. What is it saying? What is it representing? And so you have to have this whole marketing mentality, not be afraid of it. I tell people a lot of times they want to go on radio, television, and print, and I've done that. And that was probably in my previous life where we would go out and we would pitch to newspaper, radio, and television and that sort of thing, press kits, press releases, bada, bada, bada. And that's still all well and good for those clients that are already branded, when I'm saying those that already have a platform. But if you're not, if you go and you pitch a radio, TV, magazine, or some other kind of medium, and you don't have a presence online, because the first thing they're going to do is they're going to Google you. Yes, you pitch in this press release. Yes, they think of, oh, okay, yeah, let me go and Google them. And there's nothing that shows up. There's no video that shows it anything. There's no blog. Of course, there's going to be a website. That pretty much people do get that. But there's no other kind of traction that shows that you are an expert or an authority in your field. So I tell people you have to build that. You have to build your tribe, which is, you know, Seth Godin's book. But you have to build an audience that really responds and wants what you have. If you don't, then there's no sense in going to a radio station and say, hey, have me on. And they're thinking like, well, you can't even get, you know, five folks on your fan page. So the name of the game is really just really building and cultivating those relationships that make you, that I guess you would say in so many words, make the customers your evangelists, where they're speaking and talking about you. The best form of advertising is word of mouth. Social media is word of mouth on steroids. So you want to make sure that you're doing that, that people say, oh, I don't know how to blog. I don't know what to blog about. You've got to follow blogs in order to know what it is. And if you don't know how to run a fan page, go to Ami Jo's fan page and figure out what they're doing. Or I have a fan page. Mine primarily has to do with PR coaching. So everybody has a particular niche, and knowing how to dominate or really to position yourself in that niche is really what being in marketing is all about. You just let people know what it is, let your market know what it is that you're offering, but you do it not in a salesy way, but in a information-giving way, and that's really what social media does. So Twitter, Facebook, and all of that. So a lot of people say, well, I need a publicist right now. And I'm thinking, like, if you can't be your own publicist, and really influence your own tribe, then there's nothing that a publicist can do for you today, because everybody needs to, even Ford Motor Company, they have their own, they're engaging with customers. They have their own fan pages, and they're doing the launches through Facebook and all of this. So if they are a major corporation that are engaging in social media, or Comcast Cares and all those different type of brands that are doing social media where they're trying to humanize themselves, then there's a way where obviously an entrepreneur who's a smaller entrepreneur has an advantage, because really people like doing business with people that they know, like, and trust, and that's the way social media does. So that's, you'll find that that's really, you know, you see, I'm really excited about that topic.
Yes, I do, and I appreciate that, because, you know, again, many businesswomen are successful, and I would venture to say there are a lot of women out there who are very, very successful and haven't quite done as much, but, you know, PR and marketing, you know, many of them have become successful through their corner market, their family, their friends, and various others that they know. But if they would just implement public relations and marketing. And so, of course, Pam, we want to make sure that people know how to connect to you. So if you could go ahead and give us your fan page and any website that you'd like people to know about.
Yeah, they can actually go to PamPerryPR.com, and from there they'll find all the other things as well. As some of the they can download a free MP3 as well. The MP3 is what every author should know, and it's an hour MP3 that I did in a studio with my friend Bob Ivory. And really I go over in an hour everything that I think an author should know before they even write the book, or if they've written the book and they can't figure out why it's not selling, I try to keep it real, and I say everything on this hour-long MP3, what it is that they need to know. So it's just at PamPerryPR.com, And then my Facebook page is Pam Perry fan page. And so they can actually, that was, I'd had that way before they call it like pages. So, you know, Facebook has their thing. They can change whatever they want, whenever they want, because it's their ball, their game. So,
you're right.
So it's Facebook.com, Pam Perry fan page. And that's it there.
Okay.
You'll see the logo that says Fabulous PR Coach.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. And Amy Jo, yours is facebook.com/CWUIB. CWUIB.
Yes, ma'am.
And is that the website, CWUIB.com?
Yes, ma'am. CWUIB.com.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. I want to ask both of you, what do you suggest for women who are feeling discouraged because they are still not generating the income they need in their business? You know, there's a lot of women, now they've taken the leap of faith to really go out there and focus and do their business, and they're getting a little bit discouraged because they are not yet. And I say yet because I believe that you definitely have to have faith in yourself that you will be able to do it. But they are not yet generating the income they need to in their business. Pulling from your own experience perhaps or someone else's that you know of, what would you recommend to women who are not generating the income they need yet?
Do you want to go, Amy? Or?
Yeah, I'll go ahead. You know, one thing that I always suggest, especially in an economy like we have now, is that you need to make sure you have several avenues for your customers to reach you and several types of product that they're getting. So I'm just going to use something simple. I'm going to say, let's say you opened a small florist shop, all right, a brick-and-mortar store in your community, and maybe the economy, people aren't buying very many flowers, so you're discouraged that you're not having the sales you want. I always suggest that you need other things for your customer to interact with you. So maybe you need to offer some type of ebook or something that would tell them what the meaning of flowers are, what flowers are appropriate for what types of occasion. Maybe you need to offer a customized calendar that not only tells them about, you know, holidays and what flowers are the flowers for each month, but maybe you would also personalize it as a reminder of when all those special days are, the birthdays and the anniversaries. And, you know, you have to, in this, I think in this economy, you have to be willing to offer those things. And the technology is out there that you don't have to have a huge expense. You don't have to go and print 10,000 books. You know, you don't have to print a bunch of calendars. It can all be done on demand as you get the orders. And so that, I think that's very important for women to not be stuck on, oh, well, I'm only selling this product. I think you have to be willing to kind of broaden your horizons. And, you know, I don't recommend going into three different businesses that aren't related to each other because it's very difficult to keep track. But you need to, whatever your primary business is, kind of expand off of that and find other things that support it that can bring in some additional revenue and which also build that relationship and that goodwill with your customers. Because if they are communicating with you through that social networking that Pam was just talking about and they found these other, you know, less expensive type products that they can get from you. And then guess what? When they need flowers, who's going to come to mind first? You are. So it's, and that goes for any type of business, whether you're a virtual assistant or a coach or whatever it is, that you need to have those multiple streams of income, so to speak, coming in to you.
Absolutely.
So that you I think you build your business faster that way by playing off of your primary skill or your primary knowledge area and then, you know, letting it develop into a full-fledged business that can support you.
Yes, definitely. Excellent, excellent tip. Pam, do you have anything to add to that?
I would say one of the main things is to have a mentor and to, or have a coach. If you can't really afford to hire a coach, because if you're at a standstill, you're stuck, you're not really making the money that you want, I would say you probably need someone that can help you see the blind spots in your business. And a coach can do that. And I have several coaches. I know whenever I would reach like a standstill in my business, I would then seek out someone that would really show me a different way of looking at my situation. And or even just someone that really just says, okay, let's focus on this. This is you know, just helping you to really strategize better. And I think a coach, a nonpartisan coach, someone who's not a friend or family or someone who's really close to you, but someone that you hire that is obviously has your best interest in mind that says, okay, this is what you need to do. Or if you can't afford a coach, then I say find a mentor. I did an article called How to Find an Online Mentor or How to Be an Online Protege. And basically you can follow people, you know, until you really do have enough money to hire them. But a lot of things that we do online now, you can follow us if you really pay attention. A lot of the secrets and things that the secrets to success are online. They're in little nuggets. You know, there's a saying that Zig Ziglar said, or as Jim Rohn said, that success leaves clues. And so you want to make sure that you're following different people online and understanding what it is that they're doing to have success. And so you want to follow that. That's one of the main things. And I would say with anything, your marketing is probably not the product that a person has or not the service, because that's probably good, that's probably sound. But in terms of really their marketing or their whole area of trying to make sure that they're the right customer is really receiving the right message. And so you want to make sure that you're doing that. And not necessarily you saying that, but really engaging with them online, you know, through social media and that sort of thing is very, very important today.
Absolutely, absolutely. And social media is really, really, it's becoming a strong, strong factor for, I would say, for everybody who is in business, especially. I believe it's the new wave that has hit the Internet. And with that said, I know that both of you are using social media greatly, and I really admire the way that you are using it. And I want to encourage everyone again to make sure that you visit their fan pages. Again, Pam's is facebook.com/ Pam Perry fan page. And, of course, the Christian Women United in Business with Amy Jo is facebook.com/ CWUIB. That's CWUIB. And, again, ladies, I'm just so glad that you guys have given us some golden nuggets for us to grasp and hold on to. I want to know if there is a female entrepreneur in particular that you admire and why.
Yes, I admire actually my life coach, Dr. Stacia Pierce. Dr. Stacia Pierce, life coach to women, and she's reinvented herself, rebranded herself. She does a marvelous job, a first job, obviously being a pastor's wife. But then she also has other businesses where she has an online store where it's accessories and that sort of thing. She also has a nail line as well called Superstar Nail Lacquer, which has really just taken off the first year and been in every magazine from Glamour to Vogue to People. She's been at the Oscars. I mean, for someone who didn't know the nail business, Superstar Nail Lacquer, and they've had like Miley Cyrus is one of the spokespeople for the nail salon. Then she also has a coaching program where she coaches people like Tasha Smith and different, quote-unquote, Hollywood celebrities. And she's a Christian. She's a Christian, but she has rebranded herself, and she has also a diet program that she does where she herself went from a size 16 to a 6, and she looks fabulous, did a very healthy way. And so I like her, and she's my mentor because I've seen her over the last 10 years. I'm not a person that just watches someone for a few months or a few years, but for over the last 10 years. And I really appreciate her brand, knowing what she's doing. She's always been with the same theme, dealing with women and success. Her Women's Success Conference, she has over 5,000 women that come to her Women's Success Conference. And, you know, she would have, like, quote-unquote, very famous people speaking there, but then for the most part, she's really just sharing her everyday experiences because she started a small town and just had big dreams, and from there, she's really just grown. So this is one of my favorites, you know, someone that I've seen for a long time and really know personally. So, and there's some others, but I just know her personally.
Bravo. Thank you so much. And Amy Jo, what about you?
Yeah, and mine might be a little different take, but my favorite female entrepreneur would be my mother, Linda Belcher.
Okay. Wonderful.
Yeah, because when I was growing up, my mother ran daycare, And, of course, as you can imagine, when we were teenagers, we all had to work in the daycare. But having that experience was that I got to see firsthand a woman running her own business, having to keep the books, having to collect the payments, having to have the chat with a parent who's late with the payment, having to deal with good times, bad times. I mean, you know, when you run a daycare, kids can get injured and, you know, or happy things can happen, all sorts of things can happen. And I got the experience of seeing my mother do all that and at the same time being a great mother, being a great wife. And so it was an inside look at what it takes to successfully run a business. And, you know, I think that had a lot of impact on me because it never occurred to me that I could not run a business because, obviously, women can run a business, right? Mom did it every day.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
So, that, to me, I would have to say that was probably, I admired her the most because she had four kids, teenagers coming through and running a daycare. And so that was very inspirational. And so
it
I would
is.
Have to say my
it
mom
is.
For sure.
Wonderful, wonderful. And that's a wonderful thing to have that example. Well, there you have it. Ladies and all of you who are listening, Pam Perry, public relations and marketing expert, and Amy Jo Gardner, who is also who also runs Amy Jo Gardner Ministries, the CEO of Christian Women United in Business, and she's also a writer and editor. I just want to thank both of you so much for being on the show, and I'm hoping that you guys will come back again and bless us with some more tips and nuggets.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much, Trina. I've enjoyed it.
Okay.
Thanks. Nice meeting you
wonderful.
Too, Amy Jo.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you, ladies. And, of course, we are coming to an end on the show, and we have just heard and listened to great discussion on women making it happen with Pam Perry, a public relations and marketing expert, and Amy Jo Gardner of Christian Women United in Business, who is also a writer and an editor and has so many wonderful talents. And, again, we've just heard from women who have been in business for a while and who shared with us some very interesting things. You know, we talked about multitasking is important and nurturing and is an important aspect of being a woman and running our own business, but at the same time, we definitely need to make sure that we are delegating those tasks that we actually need someone else to help us with, okay? We talked also about building and cultivating relationships. Pam talked about in public relations and marketing how we have to build relationships and that it's not so much focusing so much on the target market as much as it is having the right message, which is very, very important. Pam also mentioned that we need to have someone to mentor us and someone to actually coach us, and that is very, very important. Both of the women shared information on their mentors, and Amy Jo, thank you so much for giving us an example of your mom who was an entrepreneur, and then, of course, Pam shared with us information about Dr. Stacia Peters, who is her coach. And so, again, I want to thank both of those women. And, of course, you guys, we have interesting interviews going on all of this month. Very, very excited about it. And so I want to be encouraged and stay motivated and stay tuned with Successful Woman Radio. For those of you who have not joined womenaboutbiz.com, that's our main website, and we sponsor the show, I want you to make sure you visit womenaboutbiz.com, and make sure that you sign up for our membership, as well as upload your picture and join our social network as well. And, of course, we have an incredible business coaching program. Our gold membership is only $39 monthly, and for that you receive weekly group coaching, which is so fabulous. You know, we're having so many feedbacks and wonderful testimonials about people who have joined our group coaching sessions and who are really receiving a lot of valuable information, encouragement, and support for their business. So, again, I want to encourage all of you to make sure that you go to Women About Biz and check us out. And, of course, we do have Making Money with Your Website teleclass coming up on this Saturday, November 6th at 9 a.m., and I want to make sure that everybody goes to the Women About Biz website and check out the information about that particular teleclass. Well, we're coming to the close of the show, and I just want to thank everybody for sticking with us on the show and listening to it and referring other people to the show. We're growing quite a listenership, and I really appreciate you for it. We are going to, again, continue the theme, Business Women Making It Happen, all this month. And so on behalf of Women About Biz and Successful Woman Radio Show, I want to thank you for listening today and tune in next Monday. Take care.